Our first reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 20. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all the goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our second reading is our Gospel reading, and it's from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is the Gospel of Christ.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. You all fit, well and healthy? Oh, brilliant. 8 o'clock is this morning. Everybody was coughing and bless them. Oh, there you go. You mentioned coughing and she's off again. Where's Pete? I don't know how he copes. In John's Gospel, his words aren't just placed there because he felt something. But John knew something about Jesus Christ. And having spent quality time with him, 3 years, and very close to Jesus, he was the one whom Jesus loved. So it's a special connection between Jesus and John. And he writes that right in the beginning was the Word, meaning Jesus. And the Word was God, meaning Jesus was God. This is really important because today is Trinity Sunday, and we should explore and remember and embed in our faith who the Trinity is. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it goes on to say that through him, everything was made. We know that God made the world, don't we? But it says that in him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light of all mankind. And the light shines in the darkness. They're probably the most powerful words you'll ever read in the Bible. The light shines in the darkness. And for me, light in the Bible is more than just being a sign or a symbol or a metaphor, but the light is a state of being. In John's letters later on, he writes that God, simply God, is light. He is light. And I thought, what does that look like? God being pure light. He's also love, and he's also spirit. That's God. God in a nutshell. Light, love, and spirit. The three most powerful elements of what that God is. And yet he fills us with light, love, and his spirit. So it's more than just a metaphor. It's a way of being. And so when John, in the heart of his letter to the church in Ephesus, he says then, doesn't he, "For you were once in that dark place. You were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Therefore live as children of light." So how do we live as children of light? I get what Paul's trying to say, but what does he really mean? What does it mean for us to live as children of light? As we know, light, it illuminates, doesn't it? It radiates, it glows, it dazzles, it shines. But it lights up things, doesn't it? And the light of Christ lights up the way to the Heavenly Father. So the light of Christ lights up the way to forgiveness. It lights up the way to reconciliation. It lights up the way for salvation. And it lights up the way for eternal life. And as children of God, or children of light, we are meant to walk then in that light. If you've heard of a fellow called, I'm trying to get his surname, I want to get this wrong, a bloke called Nick Fujicic. Fujicic, I can't quite get that right. If you've heard of him, and you probably would have done it some time, he's a phenomenal evangelical. He goes all over the world preaching the good news simply by his walk of faith, through his witness of loving Christ. But it's not always been that way for Nick. He was born with a condition called phocomelia, which is a very, very rare condition in which you're born without any arms or any legs. You're just pretty much a torso with a head on, and that's it. For Nick, he had what we call just a flipper. It wasn't a foot, it was just a bit of growing bone there. But it's his lifeline, he says. It helps him do so much in life. But he says his parents told him that when he was born, they found it really difficult to accept him, as any parent would do, seeing their child being born in that way. And although they were Christians, they were challenged about their faith, and they found it really hard to love Nick in that situation. But over the years, they see him grow and develop and learned to love him. But at an early age, he sent him to mainstream school. He was bullied, as you would imagine, very, very harshly. But he struggled through that, as they knew he would. But it was a life experience for him to be grounded in realities that he's always going to find difficult in life. And about 8, he said he just wanted to commit suicide. He was so depressed at such an early age to feel those emotions and feelings. It overwhelmed him. But when he reached about 13, he discovered other people with disabilities that were actually living a full life. And he realized then that through his raising up and being a Christian, that actually God didn't hate him, but loved him. And maybe there was something in there that God had a destiny for him in this condition to reach out to people in that same love. So Nick grew up then to play football, to play golf, to go swimming, to go surfing. All these things that some of us have only just kind of dreamed about. But he does it. He lives a full life now. And he goes around sharing his faith with everybody. And he tells the story, or this girl actually told a story about Nick coming to visit their high school. And you can imagine, when I go up and stand in front of a high school at St. Christopher's and do an assembly, I feel intimidated by all these big children bigger than me. You know, it's been all coming past, and the vicar, you know, the chaplain and the priest. And I stand in front of the stage, in front of everybody, and I feel so, so limited in speaking out to people. But imagine standing, or not standing, but actually on the table. He's placed on the table in front of all these young people, telling them about Jesus, how much more intimidating that must be for him. But over the time, he wins them over because of his honesty, of his integrity, of his faith, and his transparency for his love for God. And at the end, he always invites people to come and hug him as a way of them getting over their prejudice, of their ignorance, of their inability to recognize that here is a person full of life. and it transforms them, it challenges them, makes them think differently. And that's his witness. Simply, he lets the light shine out of himself. The light shines bright. And that's Paul's message, in that you can't shine outwardly if there's nothing going on inwardly. Anybody can stand up and switch a light on, can't they? We can all show a bit of love, show a bit of goodness. But it's not enough. The light's got to be deep down in you and shine phenomenally in your heart. And so when it shines, it illuminates your character, your personality, your life in Christ. It dazzles that unconditional love you have for everybody, because that's the way the light of Christ shines in you. And it glows a very warm joy of knowing that Jesus is with you through those good times and the difficulties as well. And it radiates your faith. That's what the light does. And when Paul writes this letter, he says, don't remain in the dark. You're no longer in the dark. You moved on from the darkness. Get out of that thinking. You are now children of light. Live. Live like children of light, like you mean it. As I thought about that, I thought about my own limitations, about when I get caught out sometimes, but other people's attitudes, how it affects me. And one of the biggest struggles I have is my little tantrums in my car in road rage, you know, when people cut me off or stay in that middle lane doing 50 miles an hour or drive right up close behind me. And as they're passing by or I pass by them, I used to, you know, you bad driver, you woman, whatever it might be, you can't park. You're parking three people's places at once. And I challenged myself to think about that in this past week. And I realized that if I change my attitude, it affects other people as well. So never go past a bad driver now. Instead of giving my fist at them, I put my thumb up. I said to say, God bless you. Have a good day. And I whiz off. And I was sharing with 8 o'clock this morning thinking, actually, am I encouraging them just to carry on being a bad driver? Maybe I need to think about how I do that. But the intention's there, isn't it? That if my attitude changes in the light of Christ, it has an impact far greater than you probably understand in people around you. Isn't that true? And you've all done it, I'm sure, at some time when you've unconditionally loved somebody without looking for that care or that affection or that love back towards you. You've just done something kind, but not for yourself, not even for them, but you've done it for God. Yeah, because you want to do it for God. And you ask them, you do an act of kindness that you continue to bless them. Even if it's just opening that door and letting somebody walk through and they don't acknowledge you there, what's your first thought? Have a good day. God bless you. You have to thank me for opening the door. I'm not looking for that. But we do, don't we? It's innate. It's in us, that human nature, to always do something kind and expect a little bit of reward, a bit of acknowledgement you've done something good. Not with Christ. Did he die on that cross and did people gather around him and turn their back on him? Did he shake his fist on that cross? He didn't. He said, I love you. I love you. And one day you'll recognize what I did for you. That the light of the world died on a cross to send his Holy Spirit that we might receive that light through faith. That light that shines not in darkness, but perpetually shines in our hearts forever and forever. In 1 Peter, he reminds us that those who are called by Jesus Christ out of darkness come into them his marvelous light. So it's his light that shines in our hearts. And Jesus says in John 9 that while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. But when he was taken up to heaven, he didn't take his light up with us. It remains now with us. We are the lights of the world today. So from the spiritual light, we can then begin to pray. Because when we pray in the light, all our thoughts, all our feelings, all our care for other people is lit up before God. So that person you're praying for in your heart, think of somebody now that you want to pray for. Not even just be yourself, if you need to pray for yourself. Just think about that name and hold them out in that light. And isn't it amazing to think that light of God falls upon that name and cares for them and acts in that prayer way beyond yourself? And so in 1 John, as he writes this letter later on, he says, the truth is seen in you, you who are children of light. The truth is seen in you because the darkness is passing. As you step out in faith, the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. So the moment you accepted Christ into your life, that light begins to flicker. And Paul writes to Timothy, doesn't he, and says, let me encourage you. Just don't let it flicker, but fan that light into a flame. And that's what we need to do this morning, is encourage each other to fan our light into a flame. So that when we go out into the world, our story, our testimony is a light to the world now. And just like Nick, the way he impacted on people's life, not caring about what he looked like, but about what he believed in, truthfully in his heart, far outweighed every perception that everybody saw in him. They just saw Christ, the image of Christ. And doesn't God say at the beginning, let there be light? So from the beginning, God physically and spiritually gave us light. He gave light to the world, but he gave light to us because God made us in his image and God is light. So hold on to that. I'll just finish with a proverb, which brings it all together for the wisdom of Solomon. When it says, the human spirit is the lamp of the Lord that that the Lord sheds, and that light is on one's inmost being. So the light in which we shine is from our being and who we are in Jesus. And as you go out into the world in this coming week, whenever you come into a situation, maybe you wake first thing in the morning, maybe you go into the office, wherever it might be, you go into a cafe, you walk the streets, you go meet your family. Take a breath and breathe life into that flame and just see what difference it makes to you and how you feel when you're talking to people in that light. And let that light overwhelm you and just see how it affects other people. And I really believe that we see the light before they even feel it, before they hear it and sense it. Because you know what it's like when sometimes a faithful person walks in amongst us, we just feel their love for God instantly. That is the light burning. So the light is in all of us already. It was given to us by faith. And who knows, when we live a life like that in this coming week, we might just feel that people just want to embrace that light. They want to reach out and have some of it. They want to just hug that light out of you. And all we need to do is just be there in that love of God. We're going to see a short video clip now. And this is Nick appearing in one of the schools that he goes to. It's not the same footage of the girl talking afterwards about a special hug that she gave to him. But in this account, the girl talks about Nick coming to her school. Not the video clip, just this story here now. And she says that when he was placed on the table, nobody knew what not to make of him. And then he gave his testimony in an extraordinary way that he does. And afterwards, they were queuing up to hug him, as he does. And as she saw people hugging him, putting his arms around him, really taking him into their hearts, she thought, he can't hug people back the way that we can hug. And she watched him as she's moving up the queue. And she realized that, well, what he does is that as people put their head to hug him, he just puts his head on there, and that's him hugging them. An extraordinary thing is she went up there and she put her arms behind her back and put her head on his shoulder and hugged him the way he hugged her. And that was the impact the light had on her. So go and watch this clip now. So it's not the same story, but it's the same impact to see these children respond to Nick. And all he did was let his light shine. Thanks, Adam.
Thank you very much. Nice to see you. My name name is Nick Vujicic, and it's a pleasure to be with you. So I have no limbs, but I have my little chicken drumstick. And, so it's like... You like that? That would be really cool if I could get this and get some techno going, like, here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4! But honestly, along the way, you might fall down like this. Ready? Hello! So what do you do when you fall down? Get back up. Everybody knows to get back up, because if I start walking, I'm not going to get anywhere. But I tell you, there are some times in life where you fall down and you feel like you don't have the strength to get back up. Do you think you have hope? Because I tell you, I'm down here, face down, and I have no arms, no legs. It should be impossible for me to get back up, but it's not. You see, I will try 100 times to get up, and if I fail 100 times, if I fail and I give up, do you think that I'm ever going to get up? No. But if I fail, I try again, and again, and again. But I just want you to know that it's not the end. It matters how you're going to finish. Are you going to finish strong? And you will find that strength to get back up like this.